The favor of God is a privilege. Now, I only have one point that I'm going to deal with today, but I'm going to deal with a couple subpoints on that one point. My wife has been teaching me that I sometimes do so many things that I should just stay with one and just kind of work it until we get that one. So I want you to know I'm hearing and obeying. So the favor of God is a privilege. But I want to make sure that we understand what I mean by that. The word privilege, according to Merriam's dictionary, is a right or immunity granted as a peculiar benefit or advantage. So a privilege is a right or immunity granted as a peculiar benefit or advantage. For instance, your driver's license is a privilege. It's granted to you as a U.S. citizen. It's granted to you as a member of being in this country. You can go get a driver's license, and you have then the immunity or the privilege of being able to ride around all across the country because you have a driver's license. You need to get some insurance, but you can drive if you have a driver's license. So people that don't have a driver's license and get caught, they realize that having a driver's license is a privilege. What do I mean? Let me sum it up like this. And this is going to be my one and only point for today. When I say the favor of God is a privilege, it means simply you can do what others cannot do. Today, I'm asking the Holy Spirit to birth faith in here today. The Bible says faith cometh by hearing and hearing by the word. I'm hoping that with the examples of favor that God has begun to dispense upon people's lives, that the rest of you all are beginning to embrace that the favor of God is on you. Not because of what you're getting or what you're coming into, but you know, the favor of God is on you because God has favored you. A circumstance doesn't dictate your favor. God does. But now I want to take it a step further for you to understand that the favor of God enables you to do what others cannot do. So I'm hoping by the end of the day, you would ask yourself one simple question. What am I doing? I mean, since I have favor, what am I doing? What am I doing? Well, let me show you something. Go with me to Exodus chapter 7, verse 9. See, you can do what others cannot do. So what are you doing? When Pharaoh shall speak unto you, saying, show a miracle for you, then thou shalt say unto Aaron, take thy rod and cast it before Pharaoh, and it shall become a serpent. You are aware that this is dealing with the time when Moses is going before Pharaoh to let his, you know, to tell him to let his people go. And, you know, it's a situation where Pharaoh would seemingly be in control. And he's been that way for 400 and some odd years. And people have been slaves. And all of a sudden, God has shown up to Moses and manifested himself and said, now you go in there and tell Pharaoh to let him go. See, I believe when the favor of God is on you, you can do what others cannot do. So God tells Moses, go in there, and he's going to ask you to show a miracle. When he asks you to show a miracle, this is what I want you to do. He says to him, look at the verse. Then thou shalt say unto Aaron, take thy rod, cast it before Pharaoh, and it shall become a serpent. Verse 10. And Moses and Aaron went in unto Pharaoh, and they did so as the Lord had commanded. And Aaron cast down his rod before Pharaoh and before his servants, and it became a serpent. Now, before we just kind of run through this, can we just take a moment? They walk in with rods, with a rod, I'm sorry. Moses and Aaron. You are aware that it's really Moses' rod, but Moses gives the rod to Aaron. Aaron cast the rod down, and it becomes a serpent. Now, that's a big deal, right? Y'all see Ten Commandments, the old one? Oh, that was one of the awesome things. Boy, I remember watching that as a little kid. I mean, wow. But I'm going to show you something that most of us miss on this. So they walk in with the rods now. Verse 11. Then Pharaoh also called the wise men and the sorcerers, now the magicians of Egypt. They also did in like manner with their enchantments. So now, according to the scripture, all of them come in with rods. They throw their rods down and they become serpents. That's pretty amazing, ain't it? Now, for sake of discussion, it is said by commentators that Egypt, the Egyptians had perfected the art of magic to the extent that what they would do is charm a snake. That there was a place behind the neck of the snake that they could charm it and it would become stiff like a rod. I'm just telling you what they said. Because I want us to get something here. Because I'm going to just show you what the text says. Because you can do what others cannot do. That's what I want you to get out of this. You can do what others cannot do. Now, in verse 12, verse 11, they done the same thing. But verse 12, they said, for they cast down every man his rod, and they became serpents. But Aaron's rod swallowed up their rods. Is that miraculous, Doug? I mean, Aaron's rod swallowed up their rods. Can I say something to you? Aaron's serpent didn't swallow up their serpents. Aaron's rod swallowed up their rods. When does a rod swallow something? See, let's read the book, not the movie. But Aaron's rod swallowed up their rod. A rod don't have a mouth. Let's talk about what Pharaoh's seeing now. Because you can do what others cannot do. It looked like people can duplicate what you can do. But God is going to show your life. He's going to show the favor on your life by allowing you to do what others cannot do. Oh, yeah, they came in, they threw their rods down, and it appeared to be a serpent, just like his. But Aaron's rod swallowed their rod. Not Aaron's serpent, but Aaron's rod. Aaron's has always been a rod, and it's still swallowing other rods. Well, I'm just warming up. The favor of God will give you benefits and advantages. Because the favor of God is a privilege for you. Because you can do what others cannot do. Boy, I hope somebody get this today. I do. I hope somebody get this today. I hope you get that you can do what other people cannot do because you're favored to do it. Exodus 14 and 22. The Bible says, and the children of Israel went into the midst of the sea upon the dry ground, and the waters were a wall unto them on their right and on their left. course, this is the story of the children of Israel going out of Egypt. So, just bear with me for a moment. Children of Israel went into the midst of the sea upon dry ground, and the waters were a wall unto them on their right hand and on their left. So they went boldly where no man had ever gone before. For all my Star Trek fans, hallelujah. Can you imagine, though? So I'm trying to get you to go with me today. One of the things that I found, we're too churchy. We read stuff and don't understand it. They went into the water, Ken. They walked down into the water on dry land, and it became a heap on both sides of them. Who has ever done that? Wait a minute. I showed you Moses and Aaron at first. Now what you going to tell me about a whole host of people? So the favor wasn't just on Moses and Aaron. So the favor ain't just on one or two of you. Look at this. Verse 23. And the Egyptians pursued and went in after them to the midst of the sea, even all Pharaoh's horses, his chariots, and his horsemen. At first appearance, it looks like they were capable of doing the same thing that the Israelites were doing. I mean, if we were to be allowed a ringside seat, if you will, to this occasion, we would be witnessing the children of Israel walking down in the water, gelling up, and they're going on the dry land. Then all of a sudden, there's a space between the two. But after the space, you would begin to see Pharaoh and all of his, Pharaoh's horses, his chariots, his armies pursuing. And the water still standing up. So it looks as though from first appearance, they are able to do the exact same thing. Are you following? Verse 24, and it came to pass that in the morning watch, the Lord looked unto the host of the Egyptians through the pillar of fire and of the cloud and troubled the host of the Egyptians. Verse 25, and took off their chariot wheels that they drave them heavily, so that the Egyptians said, let us flee from the face of Israel, for the Lord fighteth for them against the Egyptians. So let's slow down for a moment. They are somewhere in the midst of the Red Sea. On dry ground. But the wheels are off the chariots and are slowing them down. Let me take you a step further. The Egyptians realized God took the wheels off. It wasn't mechanical failure. And took off their chariot wheels. Did you see that? Let's do verse 24. Let's go back, Elka. They may not be believing me right now. And it came to pass that in the morning watch, the Lord looked unto the host of the Egyptians through the pillar of fire and of the cloud and troubled the host of the Egyptians. So God troubled the host of the Egyptians. How? Verse 25. And took off their chariot wheels. God took the wheels off their chariot. Now you know, God could have done something really. I mean, he's God. He could have done anything. But he just took the wheels off. Watch this. And it says it drave them heavily. Notice what God did. He didn't stop them. He slowed them down. Oh, it was a setup. Verse 26. And the Lord said unto Moses, stretch out thine hand over the sea, that the waters may come again upon the Egyptians, upon their chariots and upon their horsemen. Moses stretched forth his hand over the sea, and the sea returned to his strength when the morning appeared, and the Egyptians fled against it, and the Lord overthrew the Egyptians in the midst of the sea. Verse 28, and the waters returned and covered the chariots, the horsemen, and all the host of Pharaoh that came into the sea after them. There remained not so much as one of them. Watch this. The favor of God provides the privilege that makes the distinction on his people. The favor of God provides the privilege that makes the distinction on his people. Why did the water come and kill all of them so there wasn't one of them remaining, but God's people went across on dry land? The difference was the favor. Because remember, when they walked in there, the water was still, it was still gel, just like it was when the children of Israel went across. But because you don't have the favor that the children of Israel did, you cannot be sustained in an environment like that. Why? Because the people that have the favor of God or that are privileged can do what other people cannot do. I'm going to keep working with this till I find you today. That's all right. It ain't got to be a shouting and dancing with Ken. I'm okay with that. Look at verse 29. But the children of Israel walked upon dry land in the midst of the sea. So in the midst of the water, they still on dry land. And the waters were a wall unto them on their right hand and on their left. See, favor is your right or immunity granted as a peculiar benefit or advantage. You have the right because of favor to have a peculiar benefit. You have the right because of favor to have an advantage. So what are you doing with it? So what are you doing with it? The question is not whether or not you have it, it's what are you doing with it? Acts chapter 19. As I stated earlier, my only point is, when you look at the fact that the favor of God is the privilege, we have to recognize, listen, you can do what others cannot do. Acts chapter 19, verse 11. And God wrought special miracles by the hands of Paul, so that from his body were brought unto the sick handkerchiefs or aprons, and the diseases departed from them, and the evil spirits went out of them. You know, people look at this and they say, well, that was the Apostle Paul. That's what God did for him. Well, okay. Let's see. God has extended favor to his people, though, I believe. The favor we have should bring glory to God. Are you hearing me? That's what I'm saying. So what are you doing with it? The favor we have should bring glory to God. Look at Luke chapter 10, verse 19. Behold, I give unto you power to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Notwithstanding in this, rejoice not that the spirits are subject unto you, but rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven. Do you realize the purpose of us rejoicing is because of where our names are written at? But now favor has just given us jurisdiction over all the power of the enemy. So now what are you doing with it? Why is your house troubled? Why is there no peace in that? Exercise your jurisdiction. Oh, I told you, I'm going to find you in a minute. You're favored. What are you doing with it? What do you mean things are crazy? What are you doing with your favor? Unless the truth of the matter is you don't believe you're favored. Favor of God is a privilege. What are you doing with it? Go back to Acts chapter 19. The Apostle Paul going about his his work that God called him to do, doing what he's supposed to do while at work. Say, here, you can take a piece of my work clothes. I can't get off work right now. Just take a piece of my work clothes, go over there, and that'll handle it. Lord, I'm serious. God, stretch us, Lord. Stretch us. You are not limited by time or space. There's more to you than what you see in the mirror. Your voice carries the Spirit of God. Speak the thing. God decided to create a world, and you know what he did? He started talking. Why don't you create one? Why are we afraid to do what God called us to do? Seriously, why are we afraid to do what God, favored as you are, why are you afraid? Well, I don't know, the enemy might, but he's just giving you power over all the power of the enemy. Why are you afraid? See, I believe God's raising up radical belief. See, this favor is more than what we've realized. It's literally to bring glory to God. Some of the things that have raised up in your life, it was time for them to raise up because the favor has already been on you. Now you're going to manifest the favor. Nobody would have ever known Joseph was ready to be prime minister until a problem rose up that caused the whole nation to come under subjection. You're about to have 7 good years, and after that, it's going to be 7 bad ones. And if you ain't got it together, everybody's going to perish. You know what? We need somebody that's got an answer for this kind of stuff. Maybe the things that's rising up in your life, it's because of the favor that's on you that's ready to deal with it. But if you're running and hiding and not, well, it's going to be all right. It's going to be, no, it ain't. Not until you deal with it. You're the one that's anointed with the favor to handle it. So the favor of God is a privilege. What are you doing with it? Just stick with me. Verse 13, Acts chapter 19. Then certain of the vagabond Jews, exorcists, took upon them to call over them which had evil spirits the name of the Lord Jesus, saying, we adjure you by Jesus whom Paul preacheth. I want to share something with you. The privilege rests on God's people. We need to get it straight. You may put on your pants like everybody else, but that don't mean you wear the same privilege and favor like everybody else. I don't care what it looks like. Listen. Just because somebody is friends with the mayor, somebody's friends with this. Listen, favor with God trumps all of that. Notice what the scripture says. Certain of the vagabond Jews, let's talk just for a second. What do they call Jews? Generally, the chosen people. Oh, no, we're going to work this. Because I'm trying to change your mind to what God has done in your life for real. So certain of the vagabond Jews are chosen people like we like to call. Well, you know, the Jews are chosen. They're God's chosen people. Those same chosen people decided that they're going to cast out some devils. You with me? Because I want you to understand, the privilege rests on God's people. Verse 14. Look at this. Oh, my goodness. And there were 7 sons of one Sceva. So Sceva has 7 sons. Sceva is a Jew, and Sceva is the chief of priests. Let's talk for a second. So he is a Jew, what we would consider the chosen people. He is a priest. He's got position. He's got status. He's got recognition. Seemingly, he has privilege amongst men. And he got seven sons. Oh, he's endowed now. What a wonderful thing. But look at this. There were sons, seven sons of one scheme, a Jew and a chief of the priests, which did so. So the people who are doing this have a reputation. Look at this. Verse 15. And the evil spirit answered and said, Jesus I know, and Paul I know, but who are you? Listen to this. I believe the Holy Spirit showed this to me. The evil spirits knew that they were not in the family. Jesus I know, Paul I know, but you're not in the family. Because their life was not hid in Christ. They were Jews. They were exorcists. They were not family. Favor of God rests upon you because you're in the family. So what you going to do with it? What you doing with the favor that's on you? Is it just good enough to get up and go to work? Really? All that favor. Did anybody know Christ now because of you? When's the last time the enemy was threatened because he knew that when you come into work, you just might tell somebody about the gospel? When's the last time that he said, oh my goodness, I got it. Watch this. Don't, you know what? I believe the enemy will help you move to another department. I can't have her evangelizing everybody over here. Let me put her over here. When's the last time you were a threat because of the favor? We're trying to get along with everybody. Okay. See, favor is for the family. It's for the family. Verse 16, and the man in whom the evil spirit was leaped on them, overcame them, and prevailed against them, so that they fled out of the house naked and wounded. And this was known to all the Jews and Greeks also dwelling in Ephesus, and fear fell on them all, and the name of the Lord Jesus was magnified. Favor is the privilege, but glory for Jesus is the reason. Favor is the privilege, but glory for Jesus is the reason. Yeah, I'm favored, but I'm favored so I bring glory to Jesus. The Apostle Paul don't even have to show up. Just take his work clothes, a little piece of his work clothes. These folks go seven deep. Seven deep. Say the right thing, show up looking the right way, and end up beaten and naked. The difference was favor. That's the kind of favor that rests on you. Do you realize that Jesus, in Luke chapter 10, in verse 1, it says he called the 70 unto him. Because most of us look and say, well, you know, God just, he just used the disciples. Do you know he called 70 other people in addition? Sent them out. And these are the ones he told, I've given you power over all of the power of the enemy. What am I saying? God has given you that kind of power. Deal with the devil. Stop running from this stuff. Some of our houses are a wreck, an absolute wreck. Church should not be the only oasis. You pay the mortgage. The devil, don't let. It's your house. You ain't got peace in your own house. Why not? Why not? The greater one lives on the inside of you. Favor is a privilege. But what you doing with it? When have you had enough? why don't you just, you know what, I ain't taking this no more. I don't know about y'all, but you know, I can take so much. After so much, it's on. How much you gonna take? Knowing that you're favored, how much you gonna take? Don't you know that this enemy, he don't like you anyway. If you think he gonna back off after a while, no, he wants more. What are you willing to give to him after all that God has given for you? And see, I've learned this. It's some things God ain't gonna do nothing about until you deal with it. You know, it's almost like, you know, I've heard stories. I didn't have this experience because I was the oldest in my family. But it used to be people that, you know, they had older brothers and sisters, and they would come and help them fight. You know, you little kids, and you know, you get into them skirmishes. But you know what? Nobody who want to help you fight, and you not fight. I'm tired of fighting for you for all of these times. When you gonna fight? When you gonna learn? Devil taking everything you got. When you gonna fight? Stand up and act like you're favored. I don't believe God has given us these messages for this over this last month or so just for us to be, ooh, that was so nice, ooh, ooh. No, if I have this kind of favor, I ought to be accomplishing something that's going to bring glory to God. Something. God examined my life. Who's come to know you because of me? Some of us, when's the last time you even invited anybody to church? You could throw a party at your house and it's packed, but you can't get one person to come to church. Where's the favor on your life? Really? They consider you Mr. or Mrs. Sociable when it comes to events, but you, what's more important than the kingdom of God invading somebody's life? What are you using your favor for? Are you using it for your kingdom or his? See, you got to realize we're going to give account for this. The favor is there. You and I will give account for how we used it. One of the greatest principles you will always see in when it comes to Christianity is stewardship. It's always, how did you use what I gave you? Not how much I gave you, but how did you use what I gave you? Because the quantity has never been the problem. It's how we use it. Jesus says, if you had faith as a grain of a mustard seed, wasn't how much faith you have, just how did you use what I gave you? Acts 28:3. And y'all just hang on in there. It's tight, but it's right. Listen to this. Acts 28:3, and the Apostle Paul and them, they've been shipwrecked now. They found themselves on an island. And the Bible says, and when Paul had gathered a bundle of sticks and laid them on the fire, there came a viper out of the heat and fastened on his hand. And when the barbarians saw the venomous beast hang on his hand, they said among themselves, no doubt this man is a murderer, whom though he hath escaped the sea, yet vengeance suffereth not to live. Listen, in other words, they said, listen, you know what? You see how that man over there and the snake bit him? He said, this is the vengeance of God. He might have survived out there, but God gonna kill him right here. Why? Because here's the Bible says a venomous beast. The snake was poisonous. For all of those, well, you know, maybe it was just a boa constrictor. No, the snake was poisonous. Some of y'all, it didn't have to be poisonous. If it had been a snake, you'd have hurt yourself and everybody else there simply because it was a snake. It says, and when the barbarians saw the venomous beast hang on his hand, they said among themselves, no doubt this man is a murderer. Listen to this. Listen carefully. Every opportunity to operate in the favor of God will not always look favorable. Every opportunity to operate in the favor of God will not always look favorable. Paul is minding his business, getting some sticks for a fire to keep warm. Just came out of a shipwreck situation. We just survived that. I'm doing the next thing I need to do to move along. I'm making progress. And in the midst of me making progress, a snake, a venomous beast, the Bible says, latches on to his hand. This does not look like a favorable situation. Anybody with me? The people watching say, oh, vengeance is about to strike him now. That's it. He going down. Some of you all are in unfavorable situations right now. Unfavorable in the sense of how it looks. But the favor of God that's on you don't care how it looks. Look at this. The enemy, look at verse 5. And he shook off the beast into the fire and felt no harm. The response to what was deadly to others was an indication of the immunity benefit of the favor of God. Let me put that another way. Sometimes how we react to something speaks louder than what we may say. Sometimes how we react to something speaks louder than what we may say. Justin, how did you react when they said, you got to go? Maybe it speaks louder than what you would have said. Because the situation don't look favorable. It looks like a venomous beast has struck out. He struck you. It looked like you're going down for the count, Donald. But how did you react? Sometimes the way we react speaks louder than what we can say. It's not always what we got to say. Always, what you doing? Because, well, let me stay right here. Look at verse 6. Howbeit they looked when he should have swollen or fallen down dead suddenly. In other words, there's only two things going to happen here. He's going to swell up and get sick, or he's going to fall down dead immediately. But look at this. But after they had looked a great while. But after that, so they ain't doing nothing but watching. Paul walking around doing stuff. They watch. He's going to drop any minute now. Yep. Look at his hand. You see that hand? You see that mark right there? Look like it's swelling to me. I don't know. I can't tell from here. For watching. Don't you think people not watching you right now? How you dealing with it? We know what happened in your life. We heard about it. Now I'm watching you. Watching to see if you're going to fall down dead or not. Watching to see if you're going to swell up. If you're going to swell with bitterness and anger and resentment. I'm watching to see the swelling from the wound. I'm watching to see what that venomous beast did to you. See, I know you don't know who watching, but somebody watching. Paul didn't know these natives personally, but they watching his life. They watching his life now. Look at this. We're going to close it out. Howbeit they look when he should have swollen. That's the normal thing. That's our expectation. He's going to at least swell up. I at least expect him to start acting crazy, doing something weird here now. We know any moment now. And they said, well, if he don't swell, he's going to fall down dead suddenly. But it says, but after they had looked a great while. Don't you realize that some people are going to take as much time as they possibly can to wait for you to freak out? They waiting on you to freak out. And it says, and saw no harm come to him. Everything that we expected, it ain't happening. everything that normally should have went and taken its course is not transpiring. Look at this. They repented. What do you mean? They changed their minds. That's what the text says. They changed their mind. Why don't you let people change their mind because of the favor of God that's rested on you? Let them see something in you that changes their mind. It ain't what you say. Let them see it. Keep watching me. That's right. Just keep watching me. I know you're expecting me to drop dead any minute, but keep watching me. It says, and they saw no harm come to him. They changed their minds and said that he was a god. Now, we know Paul went back and straightened all of that out. But watch this. You know what I want you to see? The favor of God will not diminish over time. I don't care how long they got to watch you. I don't care. It was a great while. All during the great while, the favor was not diminishing. It was the same favor from when the snake bit him to you got tired of watching. Same favor, it don't diminish. Here's a word I have for somebody here today. This same favor, this is how you're going to win your loved ones. Because they watch it. They have been watching your life for a great while. For a great while. You don't done all of the, listen, you need to get saved. You need to repent. You don't done all of that. That you don't said that and said that and said it again. But they've been watching you for a great while. And they saw no harm come to you. Because they saw no harm come to you, they're going to repent. They're going to change their mind. It wasn't what you said. It's the way you handle what happened to you. And favor is what moved you into that realm to be able to handle it like that. It was the favor of God. You notice Paul wasn't saying nothing. Going about his everyday routine business. Just trying to keep warm. Trying to get a little fire going here. And in the midst of that, an enemy, the Bible says a venomous beast. Not just a snake, but a venomous beast. Sometimes stuff just come out of nowhere. Stuff that you ain't planning for, but it just happened to you. It happens in your life. But I want you to know that favor is that element. It's that privilege that kept you above water when everybody else was sinking. It was the ability that kept you going on when you felt like I can't take another step. It was favor that made that difference. And when people were watching it, expecting you to fail. Well, I shouldn't be long. She should be down now. I know she's been, all of these months she's been making it, but I don't know. Shouldn't be long now. No. You don't understand. It was favor. When it first happened, I was favored. And I'm still favored. And my favor don't diminish. It don't run out over time. It don't weaken because of circumstances. It is still the same because my favor comes from God. Y'all working me today. Howbeit they look when he should have swollen. When you should have quit. You should have gave up. You should have retaliated. When you should have spoke out. Said something crazy. Well, no. Can I help you? When you should have done something. When you really should have done something. When they was expecting you to be swollen. When they was expecting you to be all upset and angry. It didn't happen. It didn't happen. Because of the favor that's on your life. But favor is a privilege. Favor is a privilege. What are you doing with it? What are you doing with it? Sometimes it's not what you say. It's what you do. Because what you do can speak louder than anything you say. How you handle it when things look like they should be really going bad right now. Right now you shouldn't be doing well at all. Some of you all, I know, you should be pulling your hair out from the roots. You hear me? Because the things that have come against you, but I just want you to know they've been watching for a great while. A great while. And they're about to change their mind. They're about to change their mind. Now I know this thing is real. See, I've seen so-and-so over there and so-and-so over here, but you're a little different. I know you. I know your situation. I've been knowing you personally. And now I'm seeing this, something about this is, this is real. And watch this, not because of what you're saying, because of what I've seen happen to you. And I know what people would have ordinarily done when that kind of stuff happened. And I ain't just watched you for a day or two. I've been watching for a great while. I've been waiting on you to drop. Now, see, that ain't happening. So I figured the next thing is you're going to swell up. I see you ain't swelling. Matter of fact, I noticed you going on about your business. It looked like all of a sudden, out of nowhere, without a word being said, they changed their minds. I'm telling you, the Spirit of God is working on your behalf. Amen. Amen. Not because of what you said, but because of what you did. Yes. You allowed the favor of God to lead you and to not react to what took place. To not let those situations and circumstances that would have provoked other people into making the wrong move. You held your peace when you should have. Lord, you're so good. You're so good. I promise you, there is somebody here. The day is going to come and you're going to absolutely see that God used a situation that looked like it was supposed to hurt you. It reached your family in such a way. It reached them in a way that your words never could. And he favored you. And can I just go just for a second? I'm not even going to go back to the text and take too much time there. But I just want you to know that Paul finished his journey. In other words, this was just one little part of his journey. I'm letting you know you're not through yet. Even when they come around, you still ain't through yet. There's more favor on you for other things that has to be done. There's more things that yet need to be accomplished because of that favor that's resting on you. You've only tapped into a little bit of this. Just keep going. Just keep moving on in the journey. Because now that they see, others are going to see. That's why it's so important in recognizing favor is a privilege. And you can do what others can't do. Some of you are, I know, in here. We tell the testimonies when things work out the way we think they should. Or the way, you know, when we derive the benefit. But very few times does somebody testify in the middle of it. I mean, when you can't see the end yet. I mean, where it don't look like stuff is unfolding. You know, this is what I'm talking about, mother. When somebody says, what you going to do? And you say, I don't know. Because you really don't. See, ain't nobody lining up to testify then. But there's people watching there. That's when they're watching for a great while. They still looking. A great while. What's happening? What's going on? How are they going to react? Girl, what you going to do? I don't know. All I know is I'm favored and God's going to work this out. What do you mean work it out? What that mean? I don't know. I don't know. You know, there's no indication that Paul knew him getting bit by a snake was going to cause people to repent. There's no indication. what can a snake bite do for you? Every head bowed, eyes closed. Holy Spirit, I believe that we're favored. And that favor causes us to do what other people cannot do. And Lord, I know that there are people in here today who are dealing with situations where their respective family members, they've done all that they knew to do. And it didn't seem like it came to avail anything. But Father, I pray that in this message they've seen that their situation is what you're using. That you've decided to favor them in a way that they may not even knew, may not even realized, and that you're reaching them through that. I pray, Father, that they would stay comfort or seek comfort in the fact that you favored them. And Lord, you're going to use every situation and circumstance to get glory out of it. Let them yield their lives continually for your purpose and your glory. I pray that they will no longer be discouraged, but understand that this is just another part of their journey. Another part of how you want to get glory out of their lives. I pray for your peace upon them, Lord. Your peace that passes all understanding. Let their minds be found being stayed upon you. And let them find comfort in you, Lord, in what you're doing. I pray, Lord, that you would bear witness to this word for those respective situations that have been the hard cases. The cases where they just didn't understand. I see individuals who've cried out to you, Lord. They didn't realize that, thank you, Holy Ghost, they were asking for an answer and you were causing them to be an answer. Lord, I thank you for that kind of favor. In Christ's name, amen. Glory. Listen, I want to stand with some of you all in agreement today, because I feel like there's a weariness. A weariness in this journey. And I want to tell you, the Bible says, lest you faint in your minds. The stamina problem is not necessarily in our physical strength, but sometimes our mind. It seems like the strategies that the enemy employs to distract us or throw us off, it wearies us. We become tired. Doesn't seem like progress is being made, and it can have a way of weighing on you. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, thank you, thank you, thank you. There's a scripture in the book of Acts. Acts 3 and 19. Can you pull that up, Elka, please? I believe the Lord wants to do a refreshing today. A refreshing in some of you all that have been weary. I'm not saying that you're quitting, that you're giving up. I'm just saying that the journey, because sometimes the journey is longer than we anticipate. And it requires more out of us than we thought it would. There are refreshings that I believe that God gives on this journey. Times that we'll find an oasis, if you will, where we can refresh ourselves to go the next step. I remember the Bible says in the Old Testament, when the angel appeared to the prophet, he says, you know, eat this, drink this, because the journey is long. You don't know how long it is and what it's going to take. But you need to be refreshed in the midst of it. I believe the Holy Spirit wants to refresh us today. Wants to refresh us for the rest of this journey. I believe today he allowed us to have a little understanding of where we were and what he was doing. And now he wants to refresh you to be able to go the rest of the way. Don't know specifically who I'm talking to, but I know that there are people here. There's a weariness in your soul. This ain't got nothing to do with you being in shape physically and all of that, but there's a weariness in your soul. If that's you, I just want you to stand to your feet. Glory to God. Some of us wrestle with stuff. The Bible says, be not weary in well-doing. But you look and you see, it's like, Lord, how long must I endure this? How long must I go through this? Hon, I need you to come, please. Because I'm thinking about the time when you and I dealt with our financial struggles. For so long, in a church, doing what we're supposed to do, sowing, being in places, sowing, serving, sacrificing everything, doing those things. But in the midst of being weary, and people would greet you, how you doing? I'm blessed and highly favored of the Lord, but I'm weary in my soul. I'm weary in my soul. And who can I tell that I'm really weary? Who can I say that I really don't feel like going on no more? That if it all ended right now, I really wouldn't have a problem with it. I know that feeling. I know what that's like. But I want you to know that there's a refreshing too. There's a refreshing that brings you out on the other side of that where you're excited about every day. Where you look forward to getting up in the morning. Not because you got the world's greatest promotion and you made all of the money in the world, but there's a refreshing from the Spirit of God. The Bible says, out of your belly shall flow rivers of living water. There is a refreshing that we can walk in as the people of God. And it comes, look, from the presence of the Lord. It's not derived from man-made activities. It's from the presence of God. Listen, I'm going to ask if you all would come forward, please. Just want to be open to the Holy Spirit. If you would just line up, please. Because we need a refreshing. We need a refilling of the Holy Ghost. Watch this. And it's not because you've done something wrong. This life takes a lot out of you. When your car runs out of gas, it's not because something is wrong with it. You have to go back to the filling station. You get more gas and it runs just as well as it did before. It's just in need of refilling. I believe that some of you all are standing here today, you're in need of a refilling. A refilling of the Holy Ghost. Because what you need comes from the presence of God. It's what God can do. When he has that way of making your soul full of joy. The Bible says joy unspeakable and full of glory. A joy that it's on the inside. It's not predicated by what happens on the outside. Because life is rough. It takes a toll. It pulls so much from you. you're trying to bear up under so much and just go on and go on. It seemed like, oh, if I just keep going, it's going to be all right. One day it's going to get better. We tell ourselves this. And I understand. But sometimes we just got to stop and say, God, I need a refilling. I need you to do this. I need you to do this. I need you to fill me again. I need you to pour out your spirit on me again. And I believe, listen, I believe God wants us to be filled with the Holy Spirit over and over and over. The Bible says, if ye being evil know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask? That ain't just for asking one time. That ain't just for one request. That's for time and time and time again whenever you ask. Matter of fact, if he's done it once, you know he'll do it again. Because he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. I see today that God wants to touch hearts. This is an inside work. This is an inside work that God wants the glory from. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I believe God wants to do a work today that's going to be memorable. Hold on, I'm sorry, I'm looking up something right quick. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Acts chapter 13, verse 52, Elka, please. 13 and 52. Mm-hmm. The Bible says, and the disciples were filled with joy and with the Holy Ghost. If we really want the joy of God, it's going to come through the Holy Ghost. I'm talking about the joy that allows us to make it, you all, despite circumstances and situations. I believe God wants to fill us today. Fill us afresh. Fill us new. Before I do this, I want to ask something. If you've never been filled with the Holy Spirit, I want you to raise your hand. You've never been filled with the Holy Spirit. Good. If you all do me a favor, I want you to sit on that front row just for a second. I'm coming back to y'all. But I want first... Let me deal right here. Because you all know what it's like to be filled with the Holy Spirit. What we want is a refilling. We need God to fill us again. This is your Heavenly Father we're talking about. We're not talking about asking for something that you haven't received, asking for something that you can't have. We're talking about asking for something that you know you need. Because you realize you've hit a spot in your life. It's not that you've done wrong. It's not that you've been bad. It's that, listen, I just need to be filled again, Lord. It's hard. It's rough now. And that's what I need. That's why I found myself in this place now. I need to be filled with the Holy Spirit again. I need to be able to make it over the rough places that's in my life. I need the Holy Spirit to help me. I need the joy that's unspeakable and that's full of glory. I'm tired of just serving out of myself, just doing it out of duty, not out of love anymore. I show up, but it's because of duty. I want it to be out of relationship and love now. That's the power of the Holy Spirit. He enables us to be able to serve out of relationship with Him. Glory to God. You have anything you want to say? Hallelujah. Listen, I'm going to pray. We're going to just simply believe God, but today is a day of refreshing. God would not have exposed this and not wanted to do this. This was not in my plan. It's not in my notes anywhere. But I believe God wants His people refreshed. A time of refreshing. Hallelujah.